Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you could save a bundle, folks. All you have to do is call 1-888-FARMERS and get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right. We hope everybody had a great weekend, and we are going to have a tremendous week. Can't wait to get it started. So keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours. We've got NBA. We got NFL. We got a lot to get into. And Sarah Kustok, the FS1 NBA analyst and Yes Network Nets analyst, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Nets. And it's all good right now, I'll tell you that, in Brooklyn. And we will get into that. So keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, however you may be listening. Let me welcome in my partner, Rob Parker. What's up, bro?
What's happening? I don't know if you saw my tweet today. I said I needed people to pour some barbecue sauce on my back. It's so hot here, Chris. It's a heat wave.
Are you rubbing this in?
No, I'm not. But
because it ain't hot here.
But Chris, guess what it is today? 87 degrees. It's almost 90 degrees.
What?
Hey.
Wow. Is it sunny?
Rob G and Iowa Sam, can you guys crack the mic? Am I exaggerating or is it sweltering?
It is warm today, Rob. It is warm. It's a seasonally higher than it should be.
Rob G, you're from here, Rob. Ain't this hot?
Are you able to get out and enjoy it?
No, I mean, right now, I just take my pants off in the studio. That's how hot it is.
Oh, wow. That's hot.
Now I'm going to have that hideous sight in my mind for, like, the rest of the show.
With Alex not here, someone's got to take their pants off.
So exactly, because Alex would have a bikini bottom on.
You know what I mean? Jeez, was hot.
Yes. Hey, one other thing on a serious note, seriously. Kevin Mather, Chris, the president and CEO of the Mariners, how many guys have to lose their gigs before they stop with all the rhetoric and crazy talk in public to people?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Did you?
At a Rotary Club meeting?
Yes,
on
Zoom.
How did that even come into the conversation?
He's talking about the team.
Oh, and by the way, he can't speak English.
Right, and he's throwing in all these shots.
I mean, I don't.
Do they watch the news? Seriously,
I don't get it.
I'm stunned at this. Just keeps happening over and over and over. And that, you know why? Because it's ingrained, Chris. And it doesn't matter what happens to other people. They can't help themselves.
Well, it's going to take stuff like this to make people learn. You know,
nobody's learning.
Some people may be out there. What's the big deal? Look, there may be a context for that if you're talking about, you know, your chemistry on your team. You know, we got to help some of our guys, you know, with the language maybe. There may be a context, but a public meeting, Rotary Club, I don't even know why that even would come up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It shouldn't be a part of the conversation.
Right. Like,
if you're in a meeting, a team meeting, Chris, and it's like, we need to get translators and we need to help these guys get so that
our players are having trouble understanding each other.
Exactly.
So that's probably part of our, you know, our problem with chemistry or, you know, something like that. It's legitimate. But, like, when
just
I heard the context, I was like, what?
How
does that even come out? All right. Well, let's welcome in the crew. We got Iowa Sam, in case you didn't know already. Iowa Sam in for the ever-vacationing DJ Alex Teichert. I mean,
and just for people to know, Iowa Sam, Rob, was the other black guy who lived in Iowa next door to Chris. So Iowa Sam
is not black, but
I thought he was black.
He got funk. He brings the funk when it's his time.
Come and on, Sam. People hear you on the radio, they think you're black, don't they? Come on, Sam. You know that.
Occasionally.
Hey, his voice, he sounds black, right? All right, we got super producer Rob G on the running things as the producer. And, of course, hey, that hallowed member of Broussard's Brigade, Brian Finley. Hey.
I thought you were going to drop him after his performance on the hop shot.
I mean, it was a necessary chastening, you know, okay. But he'll learn, and he'll be better for it. So, all right, Rob, speaking of a necessary chastening, that's probably the type of spin Ty Lue, Frank Vogel.
Keep going.
Monty Williams, Luke Walton. And Steve Kerr might want to put on their team when they talk to them about what happened during this glorious five-game road trip of the Brooklyn Nets. Those are the five coaches of the five teams that the Nets played and beat. And, Rob, you and I have covered this league for a long time.
For me, 1987, absolutely, a long time.
Long time. And obviously, this is not the first time a team had an undefeated road trip and all that. But I'll tell you what, it should not be belittled. It should not be minimized what type of accomplishment it is to go out west and win all five of your games against good teams. Everybody except Sacramento had a winning record, and Sacramento was actually playing well a few weeks ago.
And I'll give you this. Four of those games without your best player. Four without your best player.
The four against the four best teams. Right? Against Phoenix and Golden
State. Right, because
the two LA teams.
They beat Sacramento, right, with them.
So, absolutely, Rob. And you wrote a column about it on Deadspin, so I know you want to talk about the Nets and how good they look.
I just think they're scary good right now. When you think about it and look at the numbers, 14-1, leading after three, 6-1, Chris, against the elite teams. Only loss was a back-to-back against Philadelphia with no Kyrie and no KD. That's the game they lost against the elites. They have now won 8 straight games against the Western Conference. Chris, the numbers, the lead of my column, the numbers are stupid with two O's. That they're stupid numbers. Because you're right.
You spelled it with two O's?
Yeah, I spelled it stupid.
So that makes it look like the numbers aren't the only thing that's stupid.
Is that what the editor said when I sent my column in? You know, like, dude, you say stupid. Do you know how to spell stupid?
Let me just to make sure that this is a part of what you're saying. You're right. And you did
but
this
But you
on
know
purpose.
What I was trying to get and you just said it. You cannot poo-poo a 5-0 West Coast trip without your best player. And even last night, you know, can we talk about the Clippers coming off a big win, Chris? Right? They beat Utah. They beat Utah, stopped their 9-game winning streak.
Not only that, they beat Utah, as you mentioned. They were healthy, right? They were whole. I know Paul George had to sit out the last couple minutes, you know, because of his minutes restriction, but they were whole. The Nets outplayed them the whole way.
Yep.
You can argue that the Clippers may have won had George been there, and that's fine. I don't even care if they had won. It was a bad call at the end of the game on Kawhi. That shouldn't have been a charge. So maybe the Clippers could have won. Even if they had won, I would have been no less impressed. The Nets outplayed them the entire game. And so it still would have been an impressive trip to me.
Without
but
their best player.
But beyond that, they did win. They beat Utah. They were whole. And remember, Rob, the Nets had beaten them a couple of weeks ago.
Yep,
so you know
Brooklyn.
The Clippers wanted to get revenge.
They didn't want to
be swept. This could be the team. Maybe these two teams meet in the finals for all we know.
Could have been. The Clippers ought to have the second best record in the Western Conference behind Utah. They had coming off a win against Utah. That was their game, Chris. There could have been a statement there. Instead, the Nets made a real statement. And anybody, all the naysayers, Chris, here we go. Remember when the trade happened? Here's what people said. There's only one ball. They're going to be bickering because there's only one ball. Who's going to take the shot? This is not going to work. They got too many. Remember that? We heard that. Then defense wins championships. You can't win unless you play some defense. That's how you win championships. I don't think anybody's saying that now, and I'm not saying that they can't get better. They've already, Chris, from dead last in defense, they're up to number 15, and it keeps getting better. They held the Lakers and LeBron James under 100 points. So the defense is getting better, and I think their record is 6-1 when all three of them have played together. So when they get more, when they get those guys together,
I think five and two. Yeah.
Okay, 5-2. When they get their stuff, their team together, and if they add a Drummond or a defender, Chris, another player, they'll be very difficult to beat, especially 4 out of 7.
Right. I'm with you. And here's the thing. I'm glad you actually brought up, you know, there were the two question marks before they got, you know, started playing games together early in the campaign was, can they play together offensively and can they defend? And I'm glad you brought it up because I want to bring this up. And this is why I was so adamant that it is a travesty that he's not starting in the All-Star game. Rob, and we both agree, and I think virtually everybody believes that Kevin Durant is the Nets' best player.
Yep.
But James Harden has been their MVP. And I think watching the games, I don't know how anybody could argue. Maybe you'll argue. I don't know how anybody could argue.
No, you
first
can't
of all,
argue because
he's already played
Durant.
Only 13 fewer games. Durant's right. missed 13 games.
Durant's missed too many games to be able to say that he's the MVP of the team.
But and even Harden, when he's been out there, and I do think, look, Durant's the key. Like, I think Durant and Harden without Kyrie, Durant and Kyrie without Harden would have a great chance to win the championship. I'm not so sure, as good as they've looked on this West Coast trip, without Durant and with KD or with Kyrie and Harden, I think it'd still be a challenge for them to win it all. But here's why I say Harden's been the MVP. And I'm going to be honest, Rob. If he plays pretty much the whole second half of the season and he is playing like this and they, you know, let's say they run off a tremendous record, he's going to have a shot at the MVP award. I will not hold Houston against him. It was bad the way he left and
bad
all
look.
That.
Right.
I will
bad
not
look.
Hold it against him. And here's the deal. He leads the Nets. We know he's averaging 25 points a game. All right. He leads the Nets in rebounding, Rob. James Harden, 8.5 a game. He leads the Nets and the league in assists, 11.5 a game. He leads the Nets in PER. And beyond all that, he's shooting 50% from the floor, 41% from three. He's taking fewer than 16 shots a game to get his 25
Which
points.
People thought was not possible, Chris, from what he did in Houston, right?
Well, I knew it was possible, but I didn't think it was probable, I guess. Because if you watch him at Oklahoma City, when he came in the game off the bench and played with Westbrook and Durant, he was the playmaker. He was the point guard. And so you knew he had the skills, but it was just, man, has he gotten so used to, you know, taking 22,
no, that's what I mean, right. Like, yeah. He wouldn't be able to back off of that because of what – he became a star in Houston, right? Let's just be honest.
Yep. He became a superstar. All-time great.
Right.
Yep. All-time great.
So it ain't that easy, but he wanted desperately to go to Brooklyn – and he's done everything, Chris. I don't even know how you could look at him and think what a player he is. I mean, I think
phenomenal.
He's a better player now looking at this than when he was scoring all those points and just, you know what I mean?
Like he's getting to showcase his whole game.
Man,
I mean,
he can play.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. And here's the thing, Rob, and you mentioned the defense. If you watch them, and first let me give props to Kyrie and Harden because, you know, we know they're not all-league defenders, but they are putting forth effort. They are getting down.
That's all
and
you have to
dirty.
Do. That's right. What you need to do. You
Both
can't stop people.
Both of them spent
people.
Time on Kawhi Leonard yesterday. Harden spent time on Serge Ibaka. I mean, just going at it. And what that's done, Rob, coupled with their selflessness, Harden playing point, taking fewer shots, Kyrie moving to the two, getting off the ball, giving up the ball, I think that set a tone for the others. Because now the others, Tyler Johnson, Jeff Green, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, they
playing
know,
great.
Rob, all they have to do is cut, move to the basketball, stand, you know, spot up on the three-point line,
and
they're
going to
get the ball. Yes.
Yep.
they're getting their touches and they're happy about it and their stars are encouraging them to shoot. So what are they doing? Giving it their all on the defensive end. And like you said, that's part of it. Those dudes are hustling on the defensive end, and we're not saying they're an awesome defensive team.
No, they're middle of the pack,
but that's enough with the firepower.
And here's the other thing, too, is I think ultimately, Chris, when you look at the Nets, they're must-see TV right now.
How don't you want to watch
a Brooklyn Nets game? We talked about it before. For the first time ever, the Nets are beating the Knicks in New York on the TV ratings.
They should be smashing the Knicks.
Right? How in the world could you not want to watch them play?
No. I'm sorry. You're right. If you're a fan of basketball, every game is must-see TV. And here's – I will throw this out. Obviously, we're throwing petunias and flowers and all types of stuff at them right now. I will say this, and as much as I like Kyrie and his game – You know, obviously, it's possible he gets an attitude, gets moody or whatever, but I'm not going to harp on that. But yesterday at the end of the game, he did go a bit rogue. He took two threes early in the shot clock that were just unnecessary that, you know, gave the Clippers a chance to win that game. So Kyrie can't get in that mode where he's got to be the one taking the shot at the end or anything like that. All of them got to stay the course. The open man shoots it. The hot man gets it, whatever you want to call it. But that's one red flag I'll throw out on an otherwise absolutely phenomenal West Coast trip. And the Nets are, Rob said it, the Nets are scary. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. How impressed have you been by these Nets? And would you agree? I don't know if Rob's co-signing it. You co-signing Harden as the team's MVP right now?
Absolutely. I think long-term, you need Durant to win a title, Chris. But Harden is the MVP.
All right, you agree with us on that. Harden's been the Nets MVP. We will continue this conversation with you next. It's the iCouple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob on a Magic City Monday, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today and get yourself a quote. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Are you as impressed with the Nets as Rob and I are? And do you agree that Harden's their MVP? At least right now.
All right. Let's do it. Let's kick it off with,
Francesca?
Francois? Okay, I'm sorry, Francois. Parlez-vous français, Francois, in New York. You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. long time listener, first time caller. How you guys doing?
Man, good, appreciate
brother.
It.
Thanks
you must be in the five boroughs. I hear a little New York accent. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm actually in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Rochester, upstate. Okay.
Upstate.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I was just calling the way, the Nets are actually way more impressive than I thought, but it's a little bit, I think, they're only working with two superstars. It'd be interesting to see how those guys look when they add KD, but as far as James Harden being the MVP for the team, I was going to go a step further and say I think he should be in consideration for MVP of the league. I think the turmoil that he had with Houston kind of, had people kind of a bad taste in their mouth, but who's doing what James Harden is doing? Like you said, he's giving you about 25 or more a night. He's leading the league in assists. He's playing good on the defensive end, and the Nets are, number two in the Eastern Conference? I think he should be in that conversation.
Only a half a game out of Philly.
Yep. Right, they're going to pass Philly in short order, I would think. But, I think, if he continues to play virtually every game over the second half of the season – and continues to play like this, and they're winning. Yeah, I think he'll have a shot. Rob, here's the thing, and a lot of people may say that because obviously most superstars, you would have to be a bit concerned about. Okay, when we drop them in there, how's it gonna fit? We're taking shots away from these guys, and he's gonna handle the ball a lot. With KD, though, he's such an efficient player. He can catch and shoot. He can get you 30 points on 16 shots.
Yep.
You know, his first year in Golden State.
It'll take him 28 shots to get 30.
His first year in Golden State, he took fewer shots than Stephen Clay per game. And still, obviously, was very effective. So, I think he's one of those unique guys that you pretty much can drop in there, and it shouldn't be an issue. But we'll see. We will see. I don't expect a problem with that. I would be more worried if it was, you know, Durant.
One of the other two sitting out, right? And they had to come in and get in court. Right. I totally agree. I think it's different. Durant's a different kind of guy. Mark, in Sacramento, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, gentlemen? I know Alex ain't here today.
That's right. You already know. Yep.
Right.
And by the way, Rob, 10.5 Black Stacey Adams. That's at the end of the year, okay? Let's get to what's going on. Let's get on back
to
what's going on.
Stacey Hamptons. You're going to get you some Stacey Hamptons, believe me.
Keep talking, Chris. Keep talking. Wait till I come to New Jersey.
real quick, we had this conversation last week about James Harden and the one-on-one. Now you know why James Harden is a better one-on-one player than Kyrie Irving. Just the things that he can do.
He's
to me, in the last couple of weeks, and he's getting into that MVP conversation. You can see it. He was the one who made the adjustment quicker than anybody else because he had played with Russ and KD before. He was the one who had to make the adjustments when he came off the bench and they played together in OKC. He's the one that made the adjustment the quickest. He's the one that's been kind of gluing that together. I'm impressed with what James Harden has done, and he's played a little defense. I'm impressed with what he's done. I would put him in that MVP category. He keeps this up. And the only other player that has been more consistent than him, and he doesn't get the publicity, that damn Joker out in Denver, man, that is one skilled cat to watch. Those two dudes, him and James Harden, they're right there with LeBron if LeBron's not careful. They're coming.
Well, Denver's
been playing some great ball.
Jokic's only problem right now is they're not winning enough games. I think they're the seventh seed or something. Yeah, if they're winning, you know, if they're battling for that a top three seed, then he's got a great chance to win it. No doubt.
And here's the other thing, too, with LeBron and their little swoon they're having right now, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, it could sway things.
He's come back to the pack. Things. There's no doubt. Yeah. I mean, you can argue for Embiid and any of these.
Yep. What's going on, gentlemen?
Too late. All right, that's
all
it.
All right, we got Sarah Kustak coming up next. She can fill us in on all things Nets. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'd rather have mayonnaise on my back.
From the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save a whole lot of something on your auto insurance. Sarah, please forget you heard that last little exchange.
I'm looking out my New York City window with the snow and the slush and cold weather.
Sarah,
and so
let me tell you why I said that, because I tweeted out today. It was 87 degrees in Los Angeles this afternoon, and I was like, it's so hot. Can somebody please pour barbecue sauce on my back? So that's where the whole thing came from. So I just want you to know.
Even that doesn't make sense.
I know.
You
know,
coconut oil. Make a tweet like that, use coconut oil.
Okay.
Well, Sarah is the FS1 NBA analyst and one of the best NBA broadcasters out there for the Yes Network. She's a Nets analyst. So, look, speaking of hot, Sarah, I mean, the Nets, awesome. And we got so much to get into, but Rob and I were just talking about the Nets. And we both agreed right now I think most everyone understands Kevin Durant's their best player.
Right.
But we feel like right now that James Harden is not only their MVP, but if he plays the rest of the season like this and they continue to win, I think he could get himself in the league MVP conversation. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow, that's a step I wasn't ready for. I do think that he has been tremendous. Given though the way that Embiid and LeBron and everyone's been playing, I still think there's a level to get to. But CB, you said he's been extraordinary, and just his control, his dominance of how the Knicks offense is operating. He is just a savant with the basketball in his hands, how he's getting everyone involved. One of the biggest things we've seen is how everyone is understanding their roles, and I would credit a ton of that to just the orchestration that James Harden has had with the ball in his hands and how he's making decisions.
Sarah, let's just, you know, plenty of teams have won all their games on a road trip, but when you go 5-0 on the West Coast against some pretty good teams, all of them were over 500, except for what, Sacramento. Chris, and they had KD but the other four games against the better teams, they didn't have their best player, and for them to go 5-0 and have now won 8 straight games against Western Conference opponents, I mean, we can't poo-poo this. That's pretty big stuff, franchise kind of franchise making news for the Nets.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was the best road trip in Nets franchise history, and I think it was just the variety of ways in which they won. To your point, against top level competition, and a lot of you look at Phoenix that had been playing so well. Of course, the Clippers, the Lakers, and different players were missing at different points. But the fact of the matter is, Durant only played in one of those games. But it was interesting to watch just not only offensively how they had been playing, but I think the big talk, the big emphasis, how are they going to try and shore up and improve their defense? And that was the area that their connectivity, the communication, they're just playing harder, they're playing smarter. The big difference throughout the course of the last 5-6 games through this win streak is taking care of the basketball. And to me, that's what has alleviated so much pressure off of their defense. And when you break down the numbers, a lot of the opponent field goal percentages or things of that nature are fairly similar to even how they were earlier in the season or a few weeks ago. But they're not giving opponents 10, 15, 20 extra possessions, extra shots to deal with. And you could tell they're having fun. Winning is fun. So winning helps chemistry a whole lot, and they have a lot of it right now.
What type of adjustments, if any, do you foresee them having to make when Kevin Durant comes back?
Man, Susie, that's going to be interesting. And I mean, I think by nature, anytime you are reintegrating a player of his caliber or at any level, there's going to be some adjustments. But he is just so versatile and so easy to fit with anyone, and just how he plays, what he could do, the efficiency that he brings to the table. I think, too, for as much as you look at offensively, he's by far been the Nets' best defender this year. So the fact that they're doing some of things with him missing on that end of the floor says something. But I think, you know, it also comes back to just the shots and the usage. And I think between Harden, between Kyrie, and, you know, some of the other players, Joe Harris getting involved, of course, Jeff Green, what he's been able to do. But the type and the amount of shots. But right now, this group has been really unselfish, willing passers, high amount of assists because of the way that they're moving the basketball. So I certainly don't see there being issues with it. But I do think anytime you're reintegrating someone, it may take a second to catch that rhythm and fluidity.
How about Kyrie? I mean, we at one point people were saying he should retire. He doesn't want to play. And he's come back, right, apologized for all the stuff, paid his fine, whatever, and has just balled out since he's been back. And what is he like? And he's playing some of his best basketball.
Yeah, right. You know what? He seems happy. It's crazy. I think the last time I was talking to you guys, I'm not sure if he...
Right. Chris, you had said you didn't think he was happy. Right. Chris said that.
Yeah.
It was actually right after his opening, you know, that press conference when he came back.
Right.
Right. So before him, you know, taking his personal leave, he seems happy. He's enjoying himself. I think, you know, people understand him in the organization, his teammates. There's a good level of just mutual respect, I think, between him and his teammates, coaching staff. Everyone seems, and again, this goes back to, you know, talk to me in 2 weeks, and who knows if he hits some bumps or challenges. But at this point, he just seems to be purely having fun with the game and enjoying being out there. And you could see it. You could see it in the spirit of the way he plays. You even saw it when, you know, he's on the bench, a couple of games that he had missed, and just the way in which he was so energized and vocal and just the enthusiasm that came from him on the sidelines. I think there's a lot of accountability amongst all these guys, and they feel very free to be direct and honest in how they're speaking to one another without hurting any feelings. And I think that goes a long way just in the steps that they've taken. But man, he's been tremendous in his efficiency. And I know a lot was made of him coming out and saying, that I told James he's the point guard, right. I'm the two guard.
Was it's Nash like, oh, wow. involved in that conversation?
Yeah, and it's like, and just by the way James is playing, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we kind of figure that. Like, move you over in the starting lineup sheet. But I think that goes back to just the comfort in the roles and the comfort in what's expected out there. And knowing that he could just be him and he could go score, and he's been tremendous at that. And so I think for all of those reasons right now at this point, he seems like he's physically, mentally, emotionally, all those things that are so important and valuable for not only a player, but a human. He seems to be in a really good place.
Sarah, we're throwing all these flowers and praise on the Nets. Yeah. I will say this. I thought yesterday at the end of the game, Kyrie went a little bit rogue. I thought he took a couple of bad threes that were early in the shot clock, both in the last minute, if I remember correctly. How much of you talk about that, and is that a concern at any point? And do you agree with me that those were kind of bad shots that he took?
And I think that's James was, I think that's going to go back to the give and take. And when you ask about reintegrating Kevin Durant, I think a lot of it, and there's no, I don't think it's an issue, a concern, a problem, but it is a factor of when you have, three of the top 10 fourth quarter scorers, or, they score in isolation, however you want to look at it, just the potency they bring to the table, just the continued feel of closing games. And we've seen them for the short amount of time and stretches that all three have actually been in games and been healthy and available together. There has been a good give and take, and it does not feel or seem in any capacity like egos are involved. And so that's the one positive thing. But I do think that's part of it, because I think you look at any one of those players and they probably believe that they, which they have all been at that, throughout the course of their careers, the go-to guys at the end of games. So I think it's going to be a feel, the way the defense looks, matchups, personnel, the switches they're looking for, all of those things. But to your point, to me, like I do, I think some of the, and Kyrie was asked about it, that last shot that DeAndre Jordan actually cleaned things up and had that bucket.
That was a great play by Jordan Knight right there.
Yeah, and he's another one who seems revived and has done a really nice job just with his energy. So I think,
has he been challenged? Because when they went small with the starting lineup, did you feel like that kind of challenged DeAndre, lit a fire under him, or what?
I just think in general, I think some of that. I also just think everyone, there was a point, they had a really bad loss before they had the 6-game win streak. They had a really bad, embarrassing loss to Detroit.
Right.
And I think since that point, there was just a lot of looking in the mirror, individually, collectively. And since then, and I think DeAndre realizes how critical he is with their lack of depth in the front court and playing small so much, but when he's in there, and that was a circumstance with the Clippers, Jeff Green gets hurt, he goes out, TLC, who would normally potentially be in there to close. I mean, the Nets would have been small. DeAndre Jordan would not have been in that game if not for a handful of the injuries that occurred. But I think he, realizes that how much he is needed and the effort required. And he's been really good. You appreciate seeing what he's been able to do, especially the last few weeks, considering some of those moments and how he looked at the start of the year.
All right, that's Sarah Kustok, FS1 NBA analyst,
so much,
and the Nets analyst for Yes Network. Great stuff. We appreciate the knowledge.
You guys are the best. Soak up the sun for me.
You know it.
All right,
pass
Sarah.
Pass the ranch dressing. Oh, I'm sorry.
More Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, DJ Iowa Sam on the ones and twos on this Magic City Monday. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. All right, Rob, we just been praising the Brooklyn Nets. And there's another team in their conference, supposed to be a contender, but is struggling mightily.
Struggling.
And that, of course, is the Boston Celtics. They start off the year 8-3, looking really good. Rob, they have now lost 12 of their last 19 games, and they stand now at 15-15. And they just lost to New Orleans. They dropped a 24-point lead to one of the youngest squads in the league, New Orleans.
Hey, Chris, and often that will get you fired, a loss like that. I'm serious.
Well,
like,
we know it won't in this case.
No, I know, but that's one of those losses that could be the beginning of end where a guy could get fired off of that. You don't blow no 24-point lead in the NBA. Sorry.
Right. And to a young team as well, when you need a victory – I mean, this team is, you know, really struggling. And I'll say this, look, and Brad Stevens, we know this, Rob. There's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, there's some resentment of him in the league.
And
remember a few years ago when
when
he did a great coaching job and didn't get not one single vote from the coaches for Coach of the Year?
That spoke volumes.
That spoke volumes. Because he came out of Butler and got a 6-year deal. That's the type of security coaches dream about.
And they don't get it. Most guys don't get it. And they looked at it and was like, this guy came from some small school, no experience, and automatically he gets a 6-year deal to leave Butler? Seriously, Chris.
Yeah, it was baffling. And look, Dan, it was empowering. It certainly gives a coach the power to implement his program. And that's the thing. Now, Brad Stevens, this is his 8th year, Rob G., correct me if I'm wrong. And they're going the wrong way. And I'm not – look, I do think Brad Stevens is a good coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. He's a good coach. I think he outcoached Brett Brown in those series with Philadelphia. That's one thing.
A little overhyped, though.
The Celtics win them. He's been a little overhyped. You know, he's been the boy wonder. But I don't think he needs to be, you know, fired or anything like that. Obviously, you got to keep an eye on this thing. If this continues to – go south and they just lose in inexplicable games, then the coach will have to go. And what I'll say is this, Rob. Rob G, his seventh year with the Celtics. Now, you know, Rob, we've heard coaches. Pat Riley said this, all right? One of the greatest coaches we've ever seen. They've said that after a while, a coach's voice gets stale. And not a bad coach's voice.
Any coach.
Not a mediocre coach's voice. Right, any coach. And even coaches that have won championships. And so I know they've got a lot of young players, so they've got some new players, so they haven't been with Stevens for 7 years. But I'm just saying that if this thing continues to go this way, if they become a losing team, like I said, 7-12, over their, you know, last 19 games. If that type of thing continues, then you might have to do something.
Chris, who did we have on the other day from Stadium? Goodwin?
Jeff Goodman. Yep.
Goodman.
Who's
sorry
in Boston. He's close.
And
to
what did he say? He was like listening to local sports talk radio right before he came on with us. Remember?
Yeah.
And he said, they want Brad Stevens' head. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Which, and again, I think that's an overreaction, but I think it just bears watching. And you got to watch. Look, here's a question, Rob. Can he handle Mercedes-Benz? Can he handle the Ferraris?
Right.
Because he had trouble with Kyrie, and I'm not saying Kyrie was blameless, but it didn't work out. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are now Ferraris. Can he handle them? Just watch this. Watch what's going on in Beantown and keep it locked right here. Odd Couple.